Please wave at me. Hallelujah. It's so wonderful to be here. And before I say something else, I want us to appreciate someone who has been working very, very, very hard. And she is indeed a gift to us. And I want us to appreciate Sister Tabitha. She has done tremendously well. If she can stand, please. We all know Tabitha. She has been helping us here as the youth intern. But she has gone beyond that. She is not even a youth intern anymore. She has done tremendously well. And Tabitha, we love you and thank you for the work you do. And may the Lord bless you so much. Amen, amen. As I'm waiting for the media people to put the presentation up, if they can. Now, I want us to pray for two people who belong to us in this family of faith, who have lost their loved ones. We have one, Eric Miner, who lost his dad, who will be buried next Wednesday. And just yesterday, our vice chairman to the hospitality ministry, I'm sure if you don't know that name, James Kalanja, if you see him, you know, because he stands at the door all the times. He lost his younger brother yesterday, and because they belong to us, let us whisper a word of prayer to God for them in these very, very difficult times. Heavenly Father, you that is the giver of life, we come to you because life has been taken away. And some of us whom we know and love and serve with in this faith community are experiencing loss of their loved ones. We pray for our brother Eric and our brother James as they mourn the death of their dad and brother respectively. Lord, we pray that you may give them peace in the name of Jesus. In these very difficult times, oh Lord, be with them and be by their side, we ask. Provide everything that is needed, oh God, through this whole issue, to the glory and honor of your name and to the comfort of our brothers and their families. So hear this, our prayer today, because we say it in the name of Jesus Christ, he who is our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Now today, we want to focus on living a life of victory in Jesus. Now we are living in a world that is full of hatred. Now when you go out there, they are talking about racism all the times. Here in our country, we talk about negative ethnicity, where we hate people because of their ethnicities. I was very surprised when they were announcing the names of the KCP students, and we were looking at the newspaper, and someone wanted to analyze a particular name whose ethnic group we could not tell. And it became such a big issue for us to know what ethnicity is that. We are living in a world full of hunger. There are many people who are sleeping without food. And sometimes because we have enough to eat and spare, we don't think about it so much. But not far from where you are, there are people who are hungry and they are going to their beds without anything to bite. The world is full of poverty, lack. And this is not necessarily because of them. But it has been caused by the greed of some. Others did get an opportunity to better their lives, like opportunity to go to school. And so they have to work within a very tight budget. Poverty. We are living in a world full of corruption. And as Kenyans, I think we don't need to be explained any further. We know it more than anyone else. We have even accepted it as the norm. One of the things I do on the side, I've mentioned here many times, I work with Taos mechanics, and I saw their book, the Tauts, the Matatu return book or whatever it is called. So at the end of the day, they fill in. There is fuel, there is lunch, there is repair. And then right down there is police. It's actually accepted. It's written there in those books. They have to fill their police because you have accepted it. So the world is full of these bad things. And the world sometimes becomes a very horrible place. Now in this country, we are talking about murder. There's a time they announced 3 murders, and these are the things they announce. And I know there are so many others that don't come to our attention. Murders, you hear people killing. The one in Nanyuki was so bad. You know, a man killing, you know, his wife and 2 daughters. Not daughter, it's a daughter and a son. So listen to the news today. It's gloom and doom. It is bad news. The world has become a horrible place to live in. And why is it? It is because it is a problem of sin. The reason why we have all these problems in the world today, it is a sin problem. And somebody said, and later so, the issue is not guns, it is sin. The problem is, it is not who, it is not what is in the hands of men, but what is in the hearts of men. That is the problem. And indeed, Jesus said it. It is not what comes out, but what comes in. Because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And that means you also act from the wealth of your heart. So it is not what is in the hands of people, it is what is in the hearts of people. And because the hearts of people are full of greed, we have corruption. Because the hearts of people are full of hate, we have people killing each other. It is a problem of sin. And sin, friends, is not your friend. Sin is not good. Now, if every problem in this world is a result of sin, and of course as Christians we go back to the narration of the creation in the book of Genesis. When they disobeyed God, then the door of affliction and trouble was opened because of sin. Then every solution to our problem is in Jesus Christ today. And this is the greatest news. And this victory comes through the blood of Jesus. If there is anything we need to talk about every time, it's the power of the blood. We take it for granted, but this is the call. If you enter a plane, they will tell you what to do in case of danger. And people are used to it. You get in, you know what they're going to say. In case of danger, put up your mask, the oxygen mask, the floaters. And some people know they were alive, so they don't even care about it. But the truth is, it is a very important piece of information. That's why before you fly, they must tell you what you need to do. And indeed, to us, this is very important. We must keep on talking about it. So in Adam, we have death, affliction, and sin. But in Jesus Christ, we have life. In Christ, we have victory in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And this is what 1 Corinthians says, 15, 21, and 22, that for us by man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. So Christ is the hope we need today. The world does not need a new political order, because a new political order will not change your heart. It will not change. Even in this country, we are talking about, about a possible referendum. That will not change our fate, because the hearts of men cannot be changed by laws of the land. It is only God who can change the hearts. And a problem we have in this country is not the laws. It is the hearts of men and women which are so evil. What we need in this world is not a new political dispensation. What we need in this country is a people inclined to God, who is the giver of life. Now, I want to talk about 3 things only today, very briefly, about sin. Because sin is the problem we have today. Number one, sin has a payday. Sin
hasapedi. You know, sometimes we enjoy thriving in sin. And sometimes we think that because nothing happened, nobody saw it. Those of us who watch football, there is a quiet rule. If the ref did not see it, and these days, if it was not picked on VAR, it did not happen. You can raise up your hands the way you want, but if the ref did not call it out, it did not happen. And some people think that because God did not call it out or you are not caught, it did not happen. The truth is, it happened and notice was taken somewhere. Please know that there is payday for sin. One day you have to pay, whether you like it or not. And that's why the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And we have two perfect examples in the Bible of how sin progresses. Because sin can't set a package. It's not just a standalone. It will pull another sin. So one particular sin leads to another. One thing leads to another. So there is no way you will stop sinning. Because sin has a magnetic effect to keep on pulling others to yourself. Two examples. The first one is what we read in Genesis about Cain and Abel, the two brothers. No, they were supposed to bring a sacrifice before God. And Abel's sacrifice was accepted by God and Cain's sacrifice was rejected. How do I know that? If you read that narration, you hear God telling Cain later in the story, if you do good, won't you be accepted as well? So it means he must have done something wrong. That's why his sacrifice was rejected by God. The Bible does not tell us exactly what happened. So there is this particular sin which you don't know what it was. And because if you don't repent a sin, it will pull another sin to itself. It attracted another sin. The sin of anger. He was so angry. Now, anger becomes a sin when you let it dominate you. And that's why the Bible says, if you get angry, do not let the sun go down. Because when you let it happen that way, it means anger is dominating you. It is a problem. It becomes a sin. When it takes over, it becomes a sin. And this is what happened. His sacrifice was rejected and he became so angry. Instead of thinking, why was it rejected? How can I mend my ways? How can I make things right? Instead, he was so angry. Now that sin caused another sin. Now his rejection was not dependent on his brother. Each of them had to take a sacrifice by themselves. But instead of this guy dealing with his own problems, he shifted blame to his brother. And he became jealous of him. So the sin of anger gave birth to another sin called jealousy. He was jealous of his brother. And because that sin cannot stand alone, if it is not repented, it is going to bring another sin. It attracted the sin of murder. And because the wages of sin is death, right there, the cup of God was full and judgment was pronounced. The other example is the example of David the king. Now the Bible says, when the kings were supposed to go to war, this guy decided to be idle. And actually, idleness is a sin. This is a sin. I was reading where Paul talked about it in 1 Thessalonians 5:14. He talks about a few things. He says, help the weak. Be patient with other people. Then he says, warn those who are idle. Another translation will say lazy. Because idleness and laziness are siblings. They go together. But this guy, when the others were at war, he decided not to go to war. He was hanging around idle. And it became a sin. Now, if you don't repent a sin, it brings another sin. So that sin of idleness attracted another sin called lust. So he went somewhere and he saw a woman bathing and of course she was naked. I wanted to say something that let me not say it. Now that sin, because it was not repented, the sin of lust, it gave birth to the sin of adultery. And because that was not repented, this guy give in to another sin called giving false witness against your neighbor. Because he called the husband of the wife, the woman he had slept with, and wanted to make up a story. But the story backfired.
So he wanted to bear false witness. And that sin bore another sin called murder. And this guy killed the husband to the woman. And at that point, the cup of God was full. And that judgment was pronounced through the mouth of Prophet Nathan. Because sin has a payday. There is a paycheck for sin. The wages of sin is death. So you better quit before the payday. Because if you're not going to repent it, it is going to give birth to another sin. And one day, you don't know when the cup of God gets full, the wrath of God gets full, then it becomes your payday. And that day will come and it will never fail. Number two, we said the problem in the world is the problem of sin. Now, sin, besides leading you to death, it is a lost affair. You may enjoy it, but at the end of the day, you never count a profit. You count but loss. And that's why sin will make you stay longer than you wanted. Because sin is so deceptive. You wanted to stay for a little bit, but sin will make you stay longer than you wanted to stay. Sin will make you pay more than you wanted to pay. You just bargain for a particular payment, but sin will make sure you go an extra mile. It will make you pay more than you wanted to pay. Sin will make you go farther than you wanted to go. You wanted to go so far, but sin will not let you go there. It will make you sure you go farther than you wanted to go. Because sin is not your friend. Sin will make you stay longer than you wanted to stay. Sin will make you pay more than you wanted to pay. And sin will make you go farther than you wanted to go. And finally, if it is a sin problem, then the solution to this problem is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the answer. And we grew up listening to that. Jesus Christ is the answer. To which question? To the question of the problem of sin. Jesus is the answer. Let me take it further. Now, when Jesus shed that blood on that rugged cross, he declared, "It is finished." That means that our redemption has now been achieved. We don't need to do much about it. It is fought on our behalf. This is called the message of the cross. This is the message we need to hear today. And this message says, like my favorite song, you know, the blood of Jesus still sets men free. It does. The truth remains and it will never change. The blood still sets men free. This is a truth that can never be changed. The blood will never lose its power. And this is something we need to accept, friends. The truth remains and it will not change. It will never change. The blood still sets people free. Now, the song I've just quoted, it has wonderful verses. I don't know whether you can read, but let me read for you. The song is, "The blood still sets people free." Hear what it says. It says, "Three crosses stood on Calvary's hill. It was crucifixion day. The time had come to pay sin's debt. And death was the only way." You know, it was time to pay the debt of sin, but death was the only way. A hammer and a soldier's swing beat out the redemption sound. And from those hands that healed the sick, his blood came streaming down. Those hands that healed the sick, the blood came streaming down. And from precious veins, sinners' chains were broken by the blood. Those last nails that shook the gates of hell had started a crimson flood. You know, those last nails they picked up to nail him on that cross, they started a flood. And this flood will never dry. That's why the blood still sets people free. Now,
to one and to all who would hear to this gospel call are waiting liberty. And the truth remains that will never change. His blood still sets men free. And this should be our daily message. The blood of Jesus still sets people free. What does that mean for us today? Help is available. There is victory in the blood of Jesus Christ. There is victory today in the blood of Jesus Christ. Whatever your bondage is today, His blood is still setting people free. If you are bound by alcohol today, His blood is still setting people free. If you are bound by nicotine today, His blood is still setting people free. If you are bound by sexual immorality, His blood is still setting people free. If you are bound by the chains of sin and the bondages of sin, His blood is still setting people free. And this is the greatest message of them all. His blood is still setting people free. The only solution to the problem of sin is the message of the cross, that blood that was shed for us. And I want us to stand up as we get to prayer now. And I want to ask you a question today. And this question is a very personal question to you. Are you in bondage today? Why would you go home in chains? Why would you go home bound by sin? Whereas help is available in the blood of Jesus. Would you be free from your bondage of sin?
Oh.